It's Wednesday, the 18th of October, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and the returning Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Evening, Paul.
We've got an action-packed show for you coming up. We're going to look back at the last four Devils games after the extended break since our last episode. Obviously, pick our player of the extended week, as we'll call it now. We've got a new signing to talk about. The Devils have kindly announced a new signing just before we record a new show, before previewing the return to league action with two massive games against Sheffield and Nottingham, and looking at, obviously, Mark Richardson's testimonial coming up on Tuesday, another really important game. So we'll crack on, and we're going to go right back to Saturday 7th, when Belfast came into Cardiff. Not going to go into massive detail, obviously. This is now a bit out of date. Devils opened up a 2-0 lead through Patrick Aslin and Joey Martin inside 8 minutes. And against, worth noting, a very depleted Belfast team. Cardiff were missing Paul Crowder through suspension and Matt Pope through injury. And Belfast started really poorly, which gave us 2-0 lead. Made it 2-1 before the end of the second for Andrew Hotham. Restored the 3-1 two-goal lead to make it 3-1 with about 2.5 minutes gone in the second. And from there on, however poor Belfast had played, and I think they had played quite poor, we were able to totally outdo them in that those stakes and allowed Belfast to score four unanswered goals through to the end of the game. Sean, a massively disappointing performance for you from the Devils?
Yeah, we started off fairly well. Seemed to take a bit of control of the game. Belfast looked very poor in that opening period, though, so I wouldn't have taken too much from it. And, yeah, we just fell to pieces, and Belfast just beat us all over the ice in areas, in the dirty areas. You know, Coach Lord said in his post-game interview that, you know, they won more battles than us, they played harder, they wanted to win it more, and that's exactly what was the case.
Yeah, and it left a very deflated, deflated Devils contingent heading to Sweden for the game against Fekwa on the Wednesday. Obviously massively looking forward to watching, you know, an SHL team at home, but with expectations probably even lower than those going into the home game, because, you know, we all worried about the backlash, and then just the quality of performance that we'd seen. And, well, Sean, the Vekwa game, and for a loss, is probably the most celebrated loss that you can remember, do you think?
Yeah, well, definitely the most excited I've been, or most I've enjoyed a loss. And that was how Todd Kelman described it as well in the sports bar, in Vekwa Town Centre after the game. The owners were there, and the fans, in fairness, were outstanding in Vekwa, and they rewarded the team for putting literally everything into that game. Paul, yeah, just talk about the game, because it's all a massive blur to me at the moment. And what a unreal experience.
Unreal. A brilliant arena, as you'd expect for an SHL team. So it holds about 6,000, so not the biggest. To start, their intro had pyro and fireworks going through the sky and all sorts of, that was all amazing. Patrick Aslin didn't travel with his wife expecting a baby. Congratulations to the Aslins, who've now had a baby, all well and good. But as Matt Pope returned to the lineup in totally unexpected, obviously, as the Devils always do now with injuries, there's no news about sort of the status of injuries. Matt Pope came into the lineup and had a great game, but the start of that game felt very worryingly like the Davos first game that we had in Switzerland, where we were totally overpowered. 54 seconds in, Martinsson, after I would probably argue was about 100% possession for Vekwa in that first minute, managed to get a goal. And then within 4 minutes, it was 2-0. We were being beaten to the punch constantly. Sean, I don't think we probably strung together more than one or two passes in the entirety of those 4 minutes. And yeah, I'm sure like me, you were fearing the worst at that time.
Yeah, at that stage, you know, I did think it was going to be Davos all over again. You know, scoring within the 54 seconds, which in fairness, the goal that they scored was an absolute rocket. Just from slightly to the left of the circles, and there was no goaltender in the world that was going to stop that. And then they added another one, about 3 minutes later, which I think looking at it is one that Bounds will probably want back. I think it went a bit through him, and I definitely think he'd want that one back. But as you were saying, I think it, I was definitely fearing for the worst of, after those two goals went in.
What I thought was going to be a temporary celebration with the Devils getting one back through Josh Batch with a bit of a scrappy goal storm.
Yeah, we just threw the puck on net and a bit of traffic around the front of the goal, and Batch manages to poke one through. Mark Lewis gets the assist on it, and you know that's, you know, we'd already got what we achieved or what we hoped to achieve. We wanted a score there, and we did that. And at that stage, we kept it to single figures within, I think it was, 5 minutes. So, you know, every cloud and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and your Devils saw out the rest of the period. And it's from before the time of the goal, but, you know, between us getting our first and Bechwa's second, the Devils settled into the game and settled into the style of play that had made us so successful in the home game. You're playing that deep four-man trap most of the time when we didn't have the puck. You're playing simple outlet passes, making sure that if we were coming to the end of a longish shift, we were dumping it deep and changing rather than rushing up the ice. And the game, for the rest of that first period, I felt sort of settled into the pattern, a similar pattern, if you like, as the home leg, but you know, with Vecchia having a lot, probably a similar amount of possession, but a lot more territory and chances in there. But did hold them out, but with 50 seconds left, Joey Martin got called for the first penalty of the game for slashing, which meant the Devils would start the second on the penalty kill. And you know, it only took 26 seconds into the second period for Vecchia to get their lead back up to two goals, make it 3-1. And, 30 seconds after that, Matt Pope gets called two for hooking, and you just start to panic that things are going to go awry again, Sean.
Yeah, well, it was that stage you saw, you know, the power play goal went in, and again, you sort of think, okay, they've scored their power play goal. I didn't think we were going to score another one, and at that stage, I just thought, you know, let's limit it, you know, a 3-1 loss, maybe even 4-1 to the regular season champs is not a bad result for us coming out here in our first CHL campaign. So, yeah, at that stage, I think I was sort of settled into the fact quite nicely that, you know, we weren't going to win the game, but I didn't even think we'd score again, in fairness.
Nope, that man, Matt Pope, back in the lineup, and after some good work from Gleeson Fournier and a great pass from Joey Haddad, absolutely buries one with a minute and a half to go in the second period to cut that deficit to one goal again. And you know, it stayed there going into the end of the second. And, well, the third period obviously was scoreless. The game finished 3-2, but the Devils grew into the game, still not making a lot of chances, but making enough to cause Vecchia problems. Sean Bentivoglio hitting the, I think it was the crossbar, Sean?
I think that was in the first period, was it? Was that in the first period?
I thought it was while we were only one goal. It was definitely to our left, so I'm not sure which period that
was. Yeah, I feel like it was in the first period.
Swedish beer is obviously expensive, but not expensive enough to help me remember what period things happen in. But you know, in the third period, Mark Lewis did manage to break into the zone and just held onto the puck fractionally too long, and meant as he went to get his shot away, that the shot was blocked down, which was probably one of the clearest chances that we had. But the Devils definitely managed to get some pressure. Had a couple of penalties in the last, we pretty much spent 4 minutes on the power play with a small break in between over the last 6 minutes. Just couldn't make a count. You know, did have zone time, did get some shots off, but I was complaining by this stage that I wasn't in Vecchia to feel stressed, to worry about the result. I was there to have a beer, enjoy hockey in Sweden for the first time, and just hopefully not get annihilated. And yeah, things got quite stressful at the end, Sean, but just Vecchia, after they killed that penalty, I think we only managed to pull Ben Bounds with, I think, about 10 seconds left. As they forechecked us, you know, out of the game in those last couple of minutes.
Yeah, I think that the stress feeling is, you know, I think that we actually cared about the game. I don't think it was stress. I don't think any of us expected to get, you know, to score a goal in that last couple of minutes and take the game to overtime. But, you know, that was nice. It was nice to sort of enjoy it, sort of for it to mean something, but not be overly stressed by it, if you know what I mean. Like, there was something to play for, but there wasn't the stress of we need to score a goal here. Like, we know we feel week in, week out. And
it wasn't nearly 40 minutes of overtime in a playoff final. Stress.
Well, no, we still don't talk about that. It's only October. but yeah, you know, it was overall, I think that for us, it was a very, very exciting game. You know, it's only, you know, we only scored twice, so we only got to celebrate twice, but I feel like we just played with so much heart and so much passion. We put so much in it to try and, you know, get some, you know, some chemistry and the good, some good vibes going back in the dressing room after the poor loss against Belfast. And they were, you know, we were talking to some people in town and they'd obviously been reading about the game, the home leg that we played against them where we beat them. And they were literally torn to pieces in the local press and by the other Swedish teams, and some people were saying that, you know, the number of the players have been fined a week's wages, all this sort of thing. So, you know, we thought that they'd be out to get some redemption and really, really pummel us into the ground. And I don't think that they were, you know, playing at, you know, 100% like they would in an SHL game, but they still had reasonably, you know, a reasonably good lineup, and they still put some effort into it. They didn't want to lose in front of their home fans, and they wanted to make amends for how they performed in Cardiff. And so we still run them close. I think that was a massively proud moment for me. You know, I didn't expect us to even compete in that game, and we did right up until the last minute. And it was a massively proud moment for me to stand there in the middle of Scandinavia watching the Cardiff Devils lose out by one goal against one of the best teams in Sweden.
No, it was absolutely unreal. And sort of going on after the game, the Devils fans singing "Don't Take Me Home," the owners who'd be on the other side of the rink sort of frantically running round to join in as well. So you know, even like those little things at the end, then just adding to the memories, and absolutely, you know, I think we've obviously talked about the CHL on a number of shows, but it's been an unreal experience this year. Yeah. Definitely one that we want to do again. You know, Nottingham have shown what you can do as a British team. And yeah, just overall, it's been unreal. Any more you want to add on the CHL, Sean, on the Vecchia game?
No, just like you said, Paul, an absolutely unbelievable experience. Massive thank you to the Devils for giving us the chance to go out to Europe and watch our team play and explore some new places that we might not have gone otherwise. You know, you'd never have found yourself in the middle of a place like Vecchia. If it wasn't for hockey. And so, yeah, it was a big, big thank you to the Devils for that and for doing us proud and competing in all but one of the games in Davos, which was still, you know, an unbelievable experience to go and visit that venue. We played three world-class teams in that mix, one very famous team in Davos, a reasonably new team in Liberec, and then Vecchia as well. Just an absolutely unreal experience with an unreal bunch of players and an unreal bunch of fans. So big thank you to them.
Exactly. Unfortunately, Sean mentioned sort of restoring some oomph into the locker room following the Vecchia game.
Just prior to that as well, we did miss out that Joey Haddad did suffer an injury in that game, which was the one sickening blow of that entire trip.
Yeah, terrible knee-on-knee contact. Not sure on whether or not it was deliberate on part of the Vecchia player. There wasn't a penalty called. But it was a solid, solid hit. And you could see the pain as Joey Haddad limped off the ice. And obviously after that didn't ice any or play any further parts. Nor would he then play in the coming weekend in the games against Guildford and Coventry. So obviously Joey Haddad was missing from Guildford, and the Devils, buoyed by their heroic performance against Vecchia, managed to roll out the performance against Belfast, Aaron?
Yeah, it was another shoddy performance at home again. Not a lot happened. We started well. You know, less than 2 minutes in, we get on a power play. Andrew Hotham rockets one home. And from there, really, it just went downhill. Guildford getting a score sheet like 3 minutes later. And it was, I think what it was, Guildford managed to get under our skin, give us some niggly plays, played behind the puck with the sticks and stuff. And I think they realised they could get away with it and carried on doing it more. And the more we retaliated, the more we got penalised and things just went downhill. Although they didn't score a power play goal, but credit to Guildford. They played a perfect road game, played the refs perfectly. And we just didn't look half a team of what we could be. And, you know, we turned around in the last 10 minutes, but clearly it wasn't enough.
But worth saying, it's like the first period was scoreless with the opening goals coming. At the start of the second period from Andrew Hoth on the power play, but, you know, I think you've hit the nail exactly on the head. The reason that we lost that game, Sean, was that we lost our heads when Guildford came in, you know, with the sole intention of making that happen, and they absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, they did. Aaron said it perfectly as well. You know, Guildford played a perfect road game. They frustrated us. They brought us, you know, we were trying to play fancy and play like champions. You know, we'd been to Sweden, and so we were the big, you know, the mutt nuts and all this sort of thing. We came in trying to make it too pretty, and we didn't do the basics right. Guildford did the basics right, ground out their battles, and just they just frustrated us. And you could see that, you know, the only notable incident of the first period was Bryce Reddick having a fight. And I've never seen, I think you mentioned, Paul, never seen anyone drop the gloves quite so quickly as Bryce Reddick did. Someone looked at him and he was adamant that he was going to fight there and then with Brett Ferguson. And then shortly after, Joey Mine gets one of the most outrageous charging penalties I've ever seen in my however many years as a hockey fan. And just we just let ourselves get frustrated and took our heads out of the game. And even at the goal that we did score, the Andrew Hotham goal, was as greasy as they're going to come. You know, the puck was sort of lying around the crease. There was contact, maybe with the netminder, pushed in by a Guildford player into one of our guys. It was chaos, and Andrew Hotham just stands in front of the net and fires it, and it happens to go in. And you sort of breathe a sigh of relief and just that sort of thing, you know, thank God for that, because it was not a pretty display. And then Aaron mentions they just come straight back into it, and then Andrew Hotham goes and does it again and is forced to have another fight after a poor hit by Ian Waters. And Hotham just seemed to want to pick the team up and carry it on his back, because at one stage, I'm pretty certain that when he was leaving the ice after that fight, he did give the guy a bit of a paste and kept throwing some body shots. And I think at one stage, as he was going to leave the ice, he pointed at about four or five Guildford players and wanted to fight them, which is just typical Andrew Hotham. I think he was one of the only guys to sort of get riled up and make him want to win rather than it putting him off. And that was frustrating to see, given how we bounced back against Vecchia, and I thought that we turned a corner and it just didn't get any better.
No, not at all. And sort of early in the third period, Guildford took the lead. And at that time, you just felt that the way we were playing, the way our mindset was, that the game was going to slip away from us.
Yeah. Was a bullet as well.
Can we also just give credit how good the goal actually was? You know, it's one of those goals, you hear the ting from the crossbar and the light flashing, I even stood up and clapped it, because it was an absolute bullet. I really do, that Carl Ackard, I really rate him. I think he'll be one of the players to look out for this season. He's put up a lot of points for Guildford already, and he got a hell of a shot on him. I wouldn't mind him in my team.
It was an absolute rocket. I definitely didn't go as far as to stand up and board him, but yeah, just had a look at his. He's got 17 points in 12 games for Guildford. So,
wow.
Yeah, definitely, definitely at the ground running there.
Mm.
But, you know, credit to the Devils. You know, whilst it wasn't a great performance, we sort of kept grinding and did manage to get back in the game, tie the game up with Matt Pope getting the goal from Andrew Hotham and Joey Martin. Andrew Hotham completing his Gordie Howe hat-trick with just under 5 minutes on the clock. And, you know, it's at that time where I think sort of last year you'd have sat down quite relaxed and thought, yeah, they've got this. We're going to win this by a couple of goals. But we had a few chances, I suppose, Sean, in those last 5 minutes. One falling to Lane Ulmer with, I think, about 20 seconds on the clock with Farina open on the back door. And sort of, as a player without much confidence at the moment, just shot the puck sort of tamely straight at Chris Carosi in the Guildford net. But you have to say both teams could have won that game in regulation rather than the Devils jumping on that goal and you're really forcing the issue.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we haven't finished talking about the game yet, but I do just want to give a special mention to another player who I think performed absolutely out of his skin and played his role perfectly for Guildford, which was Ben Davies. He didn't score or, you know, get a point on the night, but he was just an absolute menace, chased down every puck. I think he drew about 4 penalties overall, definitely 2 at least. I just thought he made an absolute menace of himself.
I can't remember disliking a player so much in Ice Arena Wales. I probably don't think a player has annoyed me as much as he did in that game since we've been in Ice Arena Wales. Which means he did his job to perfect.
He did it to the team as well and completely threw them off their game.
Yeah, like you said, he bought penalties but did it without taking a single one himself, which, you know, is always the risk when you're getting under people's skins that, you know, you can take the penalties yourself, but, you know, he didn't even put his team on the kill. So, you know, definitely filled his role on that in the game. So the game ended up going to overtime, and to be honest, I don't think I actually saw overtime. I was just getting back to my seat as Jesse Craig scored the winner, Sean.
Yeah, it was a bit of a block shot in front. Guildford managed to get one on the net on the 3-on-3. Ferguson fired in. We blocked the shot, and Craig basically fired into what was an empty net and grabbed the extra point in the Challenge Cup group stages for Guildford. And basically, I think that saw them through to the next stage.
Yeah, I think they got a point the next night, which might confirm their place. But yeah, they were, to all intents and purposes, through there and then. That one point from the Devils did keep us alive in the Challenge Cup. Two wins against Coventry would have seen us qualify as one of the best third place teams. I don't even know how to say those words. So that was the Guildford game. As I said, quite disappointing. Sort of one thing, we've mentioned Guildford getting under the skin, that there were quite a lot of, as Aaron said, you know, off the puck, behind the play, sort of niggly moments that really got under our skin. Aaron, for you, is that type of game, you're a perfect advocate for why we should have four-man systems, or you know, do you like the fact that it gives you that grittier game?
I've always rooted for the four-man system. I do think, you know, it protects players across all the ice and things like that. And, you know, it would just benefit, you know, players and fans and all that kind of way. But I just think what happened was Guildford noticed the ref, which was Jan Schmeichel. And he is typically a ref who does kind of let things go. So I think they noticed that he was willing to let things go and not maybe look towards the play than something else. So I think they noticed that and just played their game beautifully. I think even with a four-man system, I think if things don't get called, I think a coach will notice it and he will say to his players, you know, you're getting away with it, carry on doing it kind of thing. So with a four-man system or a three-man system, you go always hoping to have games like that. So I like games like that because it provides entertainment in, you know, the gritty side, and you get to see, like, Hotham paced someone, and, you know, he did take a couple of minutes for him. We missed him, but it was fun to watch, and everyone loves a good fight in hockey, innit?
In it.
We lost.
So the next night in Challenge Cup action again, Devils headed to Coventry. As you said, needing a win. Well, both teams needing a win to keep their chances of qualifying out of the group alive. And, you know, a game filled with penalties, both teams having five power plays, you know, a couple of coincidentals in there as well. There were a lot of minutes, sort of logged in, you know, on the penalty board. Sean, a scoreless first period, and definitely seemed a different type of game than we've been used to in Coventry, in that, you know, teams seemed sort of relatively easy matched, and Coventry didn't look like they were just going to be the rollovers that we'd sort of come to know of them.
No, they looked like a Danny Stewart team, which, you know, was horrible to see because, you know, no one liked Danny Stewart as a player. But it was refreshing to see that we weren't going to roll over them in a way. You know, they didn't make it easy for us in that first period. We did outshoot them 12-8. But I think that, you know, we didn't sort of get into many high percentage scoring areas that often. Coventry sort of worked hard to keep us to the outside and not let us play our game and not let us use our speed. Obviously, we're missing Joey Haddad from the lineup. That's a building which Joey Haddad traditionally plays very well in. It's, you know, it's quite small. He's a high energy player, suits his game down to the ground. Missing Patrick Aslin as well. I believe he warmed up but didn't play due to a knock. So, you know, down a couple of bodies, but overall in the first period, I was sort of quite quietly impressed with Coventry and how they'd sort of not open themselves up too much defensively, and I thought they played relatively well, to be quite honest with you.
Aaron, obviously missing Haddad and Astley meant that the Devils shuffled the lines up a little bit, but, you know, sort of seemed to pay benefit going into the second period. You know, two goals for the Devils, first one through Drew Parris on the power play, and then the second from Paul Crowder. So, you know, the injuries obviously causing a bit of a shuffle, but sort of giving different players a chance to shine.
I think you got it perfect there, Paul. You know, we've seen two players which you probably think have been struggling in the last couple of days in, like you said, Drew Parris scoring and Crowder. You know, I think it's quite known that many fans around the league, the team don't really think Crowder's performing to his standard. And, you know, he got moved up the lines, played with Jake Morissette and Andrew Lord. And I think after the second period, he had a fantastic game. He put that goal away. He set up Andrew Lord for his first domestic goal. And after he scored that goal, he seemed like a completely different player. And, you know, I've said on here and to many other people that I don't really like his style of play. But he proved me wrong on Sunday, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, most definitely. He was probably by far and away his best performance in a Cardiff Devils shirt for you, Sean.
Yeah, definitely. And like Aaron said, benefited massively for being moved up the lines, and got rewarded for playing well. I really, really like to see when players perform, they get power play time. Crowder has not been seen on our power play since day one of this team. And he played well on the night and then got rewarded with some power play time, which I really, really like to see. I don't like it when, you know, if our power play is struggling, I don't see why those guys shouldn't be given a chance. And I'm glad that Crowder did get a bit of a chance later in the night. Like Aaron said, he got an assist later on. I don't think it's actually been awarded to him. Looks like on the score sheet it's been awarded to Justin Farina, but it was definitely Lord from Morissette and Crowder on the night. So, it was good. Really, really good to see him. He was blocking passes, seemed to chase down pucks very well. He just seemed to have a very, very good game overall. And, yeah, I think it definitely his best performance in the Devils shirt.
And great to see. And, you know, really strong period for the Devils in the second, outshooting Coventry 13-4. It felt like sort of we'd taken a bit of a hold on the game, I thought. But penalty trouble early in the second, Andrew Hotham, literally 10 seconds into the third, taking two for a slashing minor. And Valorand scores with just 9 seconds on the power play remaining. And, you know, it gave the Coventry fans a bit of a lift. It sort of made me think, oh, are we going to look silly in front of the Drummers, who really, really got quite annoyed by it again? They need to find less sensitive people to do their drumming, because... Right, if you don't go to Coventry on away games, go to Coventry on away games, because watching their drummers get wound up is rapidly becoming one of my favourite pastimes.
I think it's just, like, it's just the nibbles we get. We don't even do anything, and it's just literally, you could catch, there's no water there, and you could catch a fish from the way he bites. It's unbelievable.
As Aaron said, it is that good, so...
You've only got two more trips to do it.
Exactly. The day after Boxing Day next. Get there. Just get there. It's great fun. But I did start to worry after Valorant's goal, which makes Andrew Lord's insurance goal just 4 minutes later even sweeter, even if they have got the assist wrong on it. Though that insurance didn't last long. What is that, 45 seconds later, Jordan Petrus, who seems to be the new Jeff Legui in that we can't play against him without him getting at least one goal.
Yep.
Got his goal, and, you know, luckily that was it for the game then. And it definitely wasn't a comfortable ending to the game, though, Aaron. It was quite nail-biting there for the last 14 minutes or so.
Oh, definitely. You know, Blaze didn't count themselves out. They pulled their goalie and they went... hell for leather at us, but we was persistent, we kept him out, and, you know, we did miss the hit that Paquette hit up made on
of course, yes,
Farina, which after seeing the footage, I still think I still don't like the fact of the hit, because, you know, I know Farina's facing away from, like, towards the puck, but you know, he still can't protect himself, so it's still dangerous, which I kind of agree with the ban. And then Andrew Hotham's quite aggressive chop at, I think it was Paquette.
He was at Paquette, yeah, in retaliation.
You know, he nearly took his arm off, which I don't agree with at all. So Andrew Hotham potentially is lucky to get away with that one.
But, like, yeah. On replay, maybe the slash wasn't quite as bad as I think we thought, but...
I think it's just, it's obviously, like...
Where you aim it, yeah.
To injure, which I don't agree with, so...
Yeah, and I think, again, it's just sort of the Andrew Hotham, the type of player that Hotham is, he's always going to react to things when he's on the ice, and you see there's been quite a lot of criticism that Andrew Hotham's having to stick up for players, and... Sure, I don't know about you, but that's never been my impression, that he feels like he's the only one that's going to do it. I think he's just the type of guy that will leap in if he's the one closest.
Yeah, it's that red mist, isn't it? It's in the belly of every single hockey player in the world, I think. And, you know, you saw it a couple of years ago when Carl Hudson got submarined by Kevin Noble, and the first person who was closest to it was one of the smallest guys on the team, Brent Walton, who got involved. So, yeah, and Hotham, listen, Hotham can hold his own. He's, you know, he's not scared of anyone, and he's just a nightmare to play against. Players hate playing against Andrew Hotham. And that red mist that every single hockey player has, I think it just comes a little bit more easy. It comes a little bit quicker to Andrew Hotham. It's not been...
close to the surface.
Say again, sorry?
Just saying, he's a little bit closer to the surface in...
It's not quite in Andrew Holland's belly. It's more like it's just at the back of his tongue, in his tonsils, ready to leap out anyone who even touches him or any of his teammates, which is great. It's a great asset to have. It just maybe doesn't work quite as well when he's also probably your best player.
Yeah, I think that's where the criticism comes. After what felt like about a five-minute break, the officials finally decided that both Paquette and Hotham would be leaving for game penalties. for checking to the head and slashing respectively. And as Aaron said, Piquet had the automatic review with it being a check to the head and has had a 2-match ban, which does mean he will be back in the lineup for the next game against Cardiff at home a week Saturday. So be interesting to see how he reacts to the slash and how the team react to the hit. So, yeah, all exciting. But the Devils did see the game out for the 3-2 win. You know, keeping our Challenge Cup hopes alive now, just needing a victory against Coventry in that game. And we will, for the second year in a row, scrape out of a group stage on the back of some quite poor performances and results through it. Seems to be our way, but you know, we're by no means there yet. Coventry, whilst I don't think they can qualify, I think they've got another game, so I think they can possibly just about. But theirs wouldn't be definite. But you know, they're definitely not going to be coming in to roll over either. So yeah, we're going to be battling out for third place with Milton Keynes and Guildford already having confirmed the top two spots. So you know, the supposed whipping boys have you know, comfortably made it out of the group stages. So I would say congratulations to them, but it was at possibly at our expense. So I wouldn't mean it. That's all the games that we've got to talk about, though. You'll be pleased to know, and makes it time for Player of the Week, the extended week. So, Sean, who gets your vote for this period?
I think it can only be Ben Bounds. You look at Vaqua. I think from memory, I haven't got the app open in front of me, but I think they had about 41 shots when we were there. 38 saves against a team of that quality is fantastic. You know, in the Guildford game, Guildford outshot us. I think from memory again, no game sheet. I think they put in about 30 shots, 31 shots. And you know, the goals that they scored, I don't think Ben Bounds could really do anything about. The first one was a deflection, which went to video review. Ultimately decided that it wasn't a high stick. I wouldn't have liked to have called it. Otherwise, I think that the video would have proved inconclusive, and so they would have had no reason to disallow the goal. The second was an absolute bullet, and the overtime goal obviously comes off the back of a rebound, which Bounds isn't set for the shot. And I thought he made some really key saves in Coventry as well, and ultimately we won the game, which gives us a chance to progress in the Challenge Cup. So overall, through the course of these run of games, I think it's got to be Ben Bounds.
Aaron, who gets your pick?
I completely agree with you, Sean, but, you know, I would give it a Bounds otherwise, but I'm going to give it to Gleeson Fournier. I thought over the course of the weekend, he was probably one of the only players on Saturday that really did play probably to his potential and created the most danger for us going forward. And on Sunday, exactly the same. And if I'm honest, I think out of our entire team, is probably only two or three players that I would think that could play constantly in the SHL, and Fournier's skating ability is definitely one of them. I think with him in our team, you know, we're unstoppable, and yeah, I think he had a great weekend, and I'm pretty much voting for him just because of the major hit he put on Ben Bounds, which was absolutely destroying hit. I loved it, and probably my favourite part of the game.
Boom. It's a hit on Ben Davis, I assume you're cheering not on Ben.
I hope it was Ben Davis.
And it was just beautiful. It was a sandwich, and you know, it gave Ben Davis a little bit waffle after being a nuisance all night. So yeah, Ben Davis. Not Ben Davis, sorry, Fournier for me.
It's just too many Bens. Too many Bens. Too many Bens. I do want it. We are going to have a winner. I do want to give a special mention to Andrew Hotham. You know, Sean mentioned he's he'll be trying to put the team on his back, and you're sticking up for teammates, and you know, he's still managed to keep his level of play at you know the level that we expect from him. But you know, got to agree with Sean. Ben Bams definitely kept us in the game in Coventry. There were times when Coventry had the pressure, and that there were a couple of there was some really lax defensive play actually, which we didn't mention, and. You know, a few times that the Red Sea opened up for Coventry, and you know, Bams was the only thing stopping us from conceding more. nothing he could have done in Guildford. And, you know, as Sean said, a 38 saves against the SHL regular season champions. We surely can't give Player of the Week to anyone other than Ben Bounds. So congratulations to Ben on what I think is probably his second in a row. But, yeah, very well deserved. We've had a quiet week or so on social media, Sean. Had a bit of praise from Jason Manley, which we always like. Though he's again said no Aaron, no party. And, you know, I think we all appreciate that Aaron is here, but, yeah, it's...
You can't really disagree with him, can you?
If you like, as you're here, we'll say that we can't disagree with him. So thanks to Jason for the kind words and keeping Aaron's morale up. But I think we also had a burning question, Sean, from a listener.
Yeah, basically, nice and simple from Tony Dickin. His burning question was, are Guildford Flames a better hockey team than Vekwa Lakers? Paul?
Yes, I think they are. I think they're probably a... I'd imagine that if you gave the Devils an option, they'd probably rather play against Vekwa, given the way that Guildford played. Very tongue-in-cheek there. But, yeah, if you've got any other burning questions, get on with it. I assume that neither of you want to disagree with me on that Guildford aren't better.
They're not better, but I think Guildford knew how to play a better road game than what Vekwa did.
Excellently put, Aaron. I think that's... That's
a logical answer. Coming from the least logical person in this conversation.
As I say, it could be the first logical answer you've given on this show in, well, a year and a half. So congratulations on that.
Longer than that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sorry?
So I think it's longer than...
It's 2.5 years. You are right. It's 2.5 years. God, it's 2.5 years we've been doing this. And we've still not sacked anyone.
No Aaron, no party.
Move on.
Obviously, we didn't have any Ramites, but we do love getting your Ramites, the things that you love, the things that you hate. They can be serious, they can be funny. Do share them. They always give us something to talk about, but quite often give us a chuckle through the week as we get the notifications on them. So please do share them on this coming weekend or even beforehand, whenever the urge takes you. We've got news, and we've got news that we can talk about at the time that it's happened, because...
Yay!
Devils announced earlier today that there would be new signing today, and Sean, Aaron and I were discussing the fact that we fully expected the announcement to be about 10 minutes after we finished recording this. But nicely, it was announced in plenty of time that we've signed big defenceman Tyson Strachan, who's played the last 2 years in the AHL. And the year before that in the NHL, with over 100 NHL games in total and over 400 games in the AHL. It's a CV that stands up with some of the best import signings in and around the league in terms of level played at. Sean, what's your thoughts on the signing?
I'm very, very pleased. I think that it brings another big body in. I just look at the CV straight away where he's played, regularly bouncing between he's played in the AHL at least at that level regularly since, for the last 10 years, playing a couple of games in the show at the time. So, I've looked at his fight card and he doesn't seem to be a big, tough heavyweight and be throwing guys around the place all the time. So that indicates to me, if he's playing at the NHL, he must be at a reasonable level because he's not up there to throw guys around. And so, that makes me very excited to see him play. I got to be honest, I said this to you off air. It looks a lot like the CV that Craig Weller had when he came here. I don't expect him to have quite the same impact because the level is so much higher than it was when Weller came over here. But overall, I'm really, really pleased with it. Unfortunately, it probably means that there is someone out of the lineup elsewhere due to injury. I hope we'll just chat about that a bit short in a short while, but I think it's a really, really good signing. Big guy, doesn't have a lot of penalty minutes either, so overall really, really pleased with the signing.
Aaron, any reservations on your part about the signing?
I've got a couple. I don't like he offers, you know, he's got the size, he's got, you know, he doesn't take a lot of penalties, but, like, it's plus minus. I know we already talked about this off air, but it's not very good, but, you know, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, he plays regular minutes in the team, so he's not in, well, even in the NHL, so he's not a slouch by any seams, but, reading his, little blog thing on his Elite Prospect page, it says about his lack of skating ability, which for me, you know, playing on bigger ice surfaces is kind of a red flag, but I'm no coach, so I don't know what I'm on about. But, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. Until I see him play for us on the ice, you know, he could be the worst or the best thing to happen to this team this season. Until we see him step on the ice, we have no idea.
That's very true. Sort of my thoughts on the matter in terms of the style of player he is, I'm really happy that we've picked up a, you know, a defensive stay-at-home D-man. You know, if you look at last year's team and the players that have gone from defence, obviously Scott Hotham retired, Josh Batch has moved to forward, and we've replaced those with Drew Parris and Bryce Reddick, which has massively changed the makeup of our defence. We've gone, we had an offensive D last year anyway, and you know, we've just, Drew Parris for Scott Hotham is a bit more offensive, and then Josh Batch for Bryce Reddick just took it to another level in the order that they were announced. And I think that's been probably one of the biggest issues in terms of our system, especially earlier in the season, was the amount of offensive D-men we had. So hopefully Strachan will, you know, sort of balance that out a little bit better. I think, as Sean said, it'll be interesting to see now with regards to whether we will run what would effectively be two spare imports. Hopefully it doesn't mean that there's a long-term injury where we're looking at it only being one spare import for probably most of the season. Or whether, you know, a player would be cut once, you know, injured players are back to health. It's going to be interesting to see. Just obviously hope that he comes in, settles in quickly, and is expected. It's great that he's expected in the lineup for this weekend's massive games against Sheffield and Nottingham. You know, getting him in that quickly, getting all the paperwork sorted, you know, big testament to the club. But the fact that it has all been sorted also probably makes you think that this signing, Sean, was possibly on the cards before any of the injuries. You know, it's only been a week since Joey Haddad's knock against Fekwa, so it would be impressive to get, you know, it all through in, you know, in the space of 7 days.
Yeah, well, I think that maybe that there's been, you know, maybe injury concerns. You know, obviously Drew Parris missed a number of games with a knock. Matt Pope only just returned to fitness. He may still be carrying a slight knock. It saves us having to rush guys back into the lineup, which I don't like doing. You know, we want to be at our best, want to be at full capacity and have that option. And you know, the biggest thing that I'm glad that about is that this guy hasn't been, you know, sat around waiting for a deal all summer sort of thing. You know, the guy went to train, you know, he was at the Arizona Coyotes training camp. So he's going to be fit. He's going to be ready to go. Like you said, Paul, the fact that he is in already indicates that it has been sort of, you know, in the mind for a couple of weeks. But, you know, just reading the release, it comes after someone got in contact with Steve King when we was in Sweden last week. So, it's a quick sign in. We've done really, really well if he does come in for the weekend, which, you know, it says he fully expects to, but we seem to have just had some really good luck with things like that. We haven't had any visa issues or any delays in getting guys in since the new regime took charge, and that's probably, you know, testament down to the guys in the office as well, just ploughing through it as quickly as they can. And he did play with Andrew Lord as well, so, you know, I think he's going to be a good guy as well in the room, which is always important. And I'm really, really looking forward to having him here.
Definitely. And you should be making his debut in Sheffield on Saturday. And seems like a great opportunity for a cheap plug for Red Army Travel, who still have spaces on the coach. So, you know, hit us up if you want to be one of the first to see Rick Strachan, Tyson's, it was going to happen eventually. It was always going to happen. And it was me. If you want to see Tyson Strachan in a devil shirt, seeing Rick Strachan would be a lot less impressive, I'd imagine, at this stage of his career.
What a place to, what a place for Tyson to make his mark as well in Sheffield. Great place to play your first game and hopefully keep the train going.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely is. Not a bad place if you want to endear yourself to the Devils fans. You know, do something good in Sheffield, and that's going to get you a lot of for quite a while, I'd imagine. But the Sheffield game, let's talk about it. So obviously we discussed the fact that we're expecting Tyson Strachan to be in the lineup, and the fact that, you know, there's obviously, we're aware of outstanding knocks for Joey Adad, Patrick Astling. Mark Richardson as well blocked a shot in Coventry and didn't ice in the third period, was showered in his tracksuit by the start of the third. So there's definitely concerns in the Devils locker room. Aaron, you're not a convincing weekend either. This is probably not the perfect time to be going to one of our main title rivals.
Not at all, but I think, you know, this season we're a team that performs against a good opposition, you know, not taking away anything from, you know, like the Guildford, like the Guildfords and the Milton Keynes and stuff. But, you know, we played one of the best teams in Europe. We beat them. We played them again. We took them to a one goal deficit, you know, so we know we can perform against the big teams. So I'm expecting Sheffield to be a good team. They always are. I'm expecting us to, I think we'll show up. We're carrying a lot of injuries. That might let us down a little bit, you know, but if we've got these fresh legs in Strachan, maybe it'll pay dividends and we can go out and win. But, you know, Sheffield's a hard place to go and take a victory anyway. So it's going to be a tough one. I'm expecting us to perform because I don't think Lord will be happy with either of the performances this weekend. So, and we get a full week of training out of it. You know, we can prepare well. You know, we don't know what to expect yet, but just throw everything out on the table. Give it all you got. If we win, we win. If we don't, why not? I'm joking. But yeah, I'm expecting a win because I think we can beat them. We're a capable team to beat them, but it's going to be a difficult one.
Most definitely, and difficulty probably shows in the fact that they were victorious over Nottingham on the weekend, Sean, and another title rival. It was the Challenge Cup, but you're in another good team. So you're Sheffield, definitely no slouches, and going to pose us a lot of problems. Do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, no doubt about it. I believe that Sheffield are actually away in Edinburgh tonight as well. So they've played a game midweek, which may give us some sort of benefit. As Aaron said, I've got a full week of training. Which, given our schedule the last couple of weeks, might be nice to maybe give the guys a couple of days off as well, get them a bit loose and work on some things which we've been struggling with. And obviously the new addition will bring a new dynamic to the team in the locker room. And yeah, you know, why not? We're going to give the ball a good kick. Sheffield are a team which last year, you know, we won, what was it, 3 out of 4 league games in Sheffield last year. And you know, that's, you know, 6 points for us, but it's also 6 points you keep from Sheffield, which, you know, it's 12 points. You don't win those games, Sheffield will beat you to the title. And them's the margins, and they're going to be right up there again this year, no doubt, one of your title rivals, as you said. And so every point we get there is a point, you know, we need our own points, but we also need to stop Sheffield to drop some points. So, yeah, you know, you make your own fate in this league, and in you know, get a win in October means just as much as one in late March.
It does, and you know, would be great to see one. And yeah, you know, the big games keep coming this weekend, and you know, it's a replay of our first league weekend of the season, actually, where after an away game to Sheffield, we welcome Nottingham to Cardiff. You know, a team flying massively high. You know, if we said that our CHL campaign gave us a bit of a bounce, Nottingham must be, you know, doubled in height because, you know, qualified out of their group as group winners. You know, that's not going to give them a massive confidence boost. Nothing is. So And they definitely look one of the best teams in the league as well from, you know, what we've seen from the majority of their results. And, you know, Sean, it's going to be another massively hard fought night on Sunday night in the tent in Ice Arena Wales.
Yeah. And this is what's going to, you know, this is a weekend which is going to either, you know, it could potentially turn our season around as well. You know, we haven't been on the best of form. Performances haven't quite been what they have been. Some guys are struggling with confidence. You mentioned Lane Ulmer earlier. This could be a weekend where Lane Ulmer goes and scores 4 goals and he's, you know, rocking up in confidence and then he's scoring week in, week out. It's a weekend against those sort of opponents, which we just mentioned. They're title contenders. They're big games. Guys turn up for big games. And yeah, it's going to be exciting, no doubt about it. It's going to be tough, but, you know, you get 4 points out of a weekend like that and it really, really does breathe a lot of confidence. You know, we talked about the game in Vekwa and how the performance was good, but, you know, winning, you know, a performance and winning is a completely different thing. And it's a vicious beast. You know, you win 2 games this weekend and you're riding high and the train just keeps on rolling and you lose one of these and, it's all goes to pot. So it's a really, really big weekend for us. Like I said just now, these games are absolutely huge, whether they come in October or they come in March, and they don't get bigger weekends than this.
They don't at all. And you talk about getting the league rolling, and you know, it's worth noting that whilst there's a lot of talk around our performances, we've only dropped 4 points in the league. You know, no other team has dropped less than that. With Sheffield and Belfast, both dropping more than those. So it's, you know, we've not put ourselves out of it. Again, very much season.
Yeah.
Like last season, a lot of those losses have come in the Challenge Cup, so they hurt. But if we can scrape out of a group, then in the long run, you'd say there's no damage done. And
yeah, does it matter? Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, the 2 losses in the league matter a little bit, but hopefully we can minimise future ones and definitely get going. I've just looked at the league table and sort of knew Manchester Storm were top of the table, but they've played the same number of games as Sheffield and are 4 points clear of them. So hell of a start for Manchester. And I think that loss to them probably looks a little bit not as bad at the minute, given that they definitely seem like they've positioned themselves as, I'd be surprised if they were title rivals at the end of the year, but definitely positioned themselves as a team capable of winning a lot of games this year.
Yeah, well, we lost to them last year in the same fixture at home, and they were a diabolical team last year. They are a much improved team. There's no doubt about it, and I know they won with no head coach and all that sort of thing. But yeah, you look at the games we've lost. We lost once at home to Belfast and once at home to Manchester. So, you know, it ain't the end of the world. Nice and early. Plenty of time to make the ground up.
That's me. And if we make it up this weekend, then, as Sean said, that's points off. You have 2 major title rivals as well. So all could be well in the world with a new signing and a couple of wins. It's amazing what a week can do in hockey. So.
Oh, I can't wait to see the forum after on Monday.
Well, yes, let's see how it goes. One more game before we next record. Not a competitive game, but one obviously as important in the last show as well. Mark Richardson's testimonial on Tuesday, the 24th of October. We regularly talk about how important Richie is to the Devils. 11 years service. One of the best British defencemen probably over the last 5 or 6 years, comfortably sitting right at the top there, and best British players overall as well. So a massive honour for Richie to be awarded a testimonial. And if anyone listening hasn't got their tickets yet, make sure to purchase them. And I haven't bought mine yet, so I will be sorting that out after. I've left it too late and my seat's gone, so I had a little sulk when I tried to do it previously. But yeah, definitely get your tickets, get down there. Testimonials are always fun nights, lighthearted, you haven't got the pressure of normal hockey and some great guys coming back, notably in the team captains, Matt Faulkner and Tyson Marsh. Sean, I know you're gutted that work commitments mean that you can't be there.
Well, I might be able to squeeze it in. I'm sort of hoping that I can sort of sneak myself out a little bit early and just about get there on time for the start, but I'll definitely be buying a ticket regardless. as you said, a massive part of our team, someone who deserves it, has given everything that he can. He's one of the most dedicated professionals we've had in Cardiff in, you know, since he started playing. So, yeah, it's a massive, massive honour for him, and I really, really hope that people do turn out and support it, because, yeah, Mark Richardson's done a lot for this club and stuck with us when times were tough, and time to sort of give a little bit back, I think.
Yeah, I think that sums it up perfectly. Just give something back to someone who gives a lot and, you know, very rarely gets the sort of level of plaudits that some of the more showy players do. So buy your tickets to the Mark Richardson testimonial. That's an order. It's not a request. That is the show for this week. Thank you for listening again. We'll be back next week to look back at the Sheffield Nottingham games and the Mark Richardson testimonial. As ever, get your burning questions in, get your Rahmites, everything that you love and hate about the upcoming week in hockey. And anything else that crosses your mind, send them to us. We love to hear from you all. As I said, it keeps us entertained through the week. Thank you to Sean Aaron. And again, thank you for listening. For now, that is your Red Army Rounder. Devon side, the Devon side.